Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. I'm Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Real good, thanks. Well, we're here again to do another teaching, and as Steve's introductory comments there say, we're here to teach God's Word and talk about salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And if you were with us the last couple of shows, we've been talking about how the first group of disciples, the apostles and the other believers, who were all, by the way, Jewish believers at that point, had just really the basic proclamation of the gospel and how they went forth and preached that to people. And they had their hearts transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and converted people as they went, both Jews and increasing numbers of Gentiles. And we talked about, too, how this was a radical change in what had happened, because as you've heard many times on this show, our relationship with God changed from a covenant of law to a covenant of grace. And this was a radical, radical change, because through the sacrifice of Jesus, God had acted in a totally different way in his relationship with human beings. And now there was a radical transformation that took place from law to grace. And it became not so much what you had to do to be saved, but what God had done to save you. And when these men and women went out to preach this word, they had power in that word, plus their transformation by the Holy Spirit. And they proclaimed this word everywhere they went. And of course, they didn't have a New Testament. They hadn't been written yet. So they had the Old Testament, which was, you know, like a whole bunch of scrolls they had to carry around. And they didn't have it on their laptops or in their cell phones or anything.
They didn't have an iPad app?
No, none
of that.
Carried bunches of scrolls around.
Oh, my goodness.
But in fact, they preached to people who, you know, for the most part, already knew the scriptures from the Tanakh, and they just showed how those scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah. And they would have probably remembered, you know, like I just said a couple minutes ago about, it's not so much what we've done to be saved, but what God has done to save us. In Exodus 15:2, and then again in Psalm 118, you have a phrase that says, "He," meaning God, "He has become my salvation." This was pretty radical change from what these guys were used to when they had to concentrate all their efforts on following the law. And now here we are in a covenant of grace, and they were telling everybody about it.
Well, as you're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles and how they went out and preached, it takes me back to John chapter 10, where Jesus, you know, he's saying that, you know, he's the gate. Mm-hmm. And if anybody comes other than through the gate, they're a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking about shepherds and how they shepherd their flock, and that he's the good shepherd. And he says, "I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly," mm-hmm. or to the full. Mm-hmm. And when he speaks about that, when he's talking about having life to the full, you know, Jesus came, one, to give us the grace of salvation by his life, death, and resurrection. But after his resurrection, he also, after he ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and empowered them, and they had the fullness of the Spirit, mm-hmm. the fullness of the Spirit to go out and proclaim mm-hmm. the gospel.
And boy, did they get on fire.
Yeah.
There was really not much about those guys that was on fire before that.
No, they were, you know, they were hiding out. They were afraid. They saw some pretty horrible things. And
even when they walked with Jesus, as we said before, you know, they weren't particularly on fire. They were just kind of hanging out and talking right. and saying stupid things and, you know, going out for sandwiches and.
Wait. Yeah, you know, they were just waiting for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel.
That's right.
That's what they wanted.
But boy, now they really have a whole different mindset because they're, along with the Spirit transforming their hearts, their minds are opened up to the Word. Their minds are opened up to this plan of salvation, and they just preach it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going to talk about in a little while, they even preach it to Gentiles, which was a totally radical idea. Because, you know, the people were waiting for Messiah, who was going to be the Messiah of Israel. He was going to be the son of David. He was going to sit on the throne of David. So, you know, all those things meant Israel.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, here's these guys preaching to Gentiles. I mean, this was something nobody expected at the time.
Right. Because really, if they had anything to do with Gentiles before, they would really be considered unclean.
Sure. They would have all been defiled. So, you know, everything about this was changed, but, you know, the power of this word, and, you know, we've talked many times here about how Jesus was the eternal word, the Logos, and there was a written word. Jesus is called the living word. The written word was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and as we're going to talk later on in the show, the Spirit literally breathes out the word. So the word, it has this amazing power. And as, like I said a minute ago, the New Testament hadn't been written yet, of course. So when these men and women became evangelists, they spread this word by preaching to other people, by a direct contact with somebody. Sometimes it was groups of people. Sometimes it was one person at a time, one or two people at a time. But it was a direct contact. And when you think about it, at that time, you know, you mentioned about the iPad and the phones and stuff. I mean, what did they have at that time? Just person-to-person contact.
Right.
I mean, you came in contact with a person and you said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You came in contact with five or six people, you know, sitting around at Denny's and you said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
You went to the synagogue where there were a bunch of people together and you said, hey, let me tell you what we found out. Let me tell you what we know. There was no way, I mean, you wrote letters like Paul did, but by the time the letter got to where it was going, probably 6 months went by, and, you know, no special delivery or no kind of certified mail or anything.
No email?
No email.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so if Paul could have been preaching in a synagogue and been sending email to another synagogue, that would have saved him a lot of time.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do that.
Text message everybody.
Yeah. And so I think it's pretty interesting that because this contact between people was really the only way that the gospel could spread, it was, you know, God's plan that the gospel would be spread through the ministry of these people.
Right.
And on, you know, kind of direct contact. And not only was that the plan, it still is the plan.
Exactly.
I mean, now we can spread, you know, we can, you know, I'm getting emails from some place called the Digital Gospel, and there's, you know, we have all these amazing things where we can, you know, you can write something up and you can send it to, you know, 80,000 people at once, and that's pretty cool.
You can post it on Facebook
exactly.
or on your website.
Yeah, and by the way, we have a Facebook page, Gift of Grace, but anyway.
And we have a website, too.
Anyway. We'll get to that later. But, you know, this really is still the plan, and when Jesus gives them the Great Commission, you know, he says, go out into the world and preach this gospel.
Right.
You know, he doesn't say, just sit here and everybody will come to you. They go out and preach it. And it was done by this contact as they went and proclaimed the word.
Yeah. I mean, in the scripture passage, it says, go out to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature.
Yeah. You
know? So It's a mandate, and he sends them out, you know, and it's interesting because before his death, he sent them out two by two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had power to cast out demons and heal people, But then some people, you know, they didn't heal because he said, well, these only go out by prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Holy Spirit descended upon them, they didn't have it. You know, Peter would touch a piece of cloth,
mm-hmm.
and they would, you know, somebody would rub up against that piece
yeah.
of cloth,
yeah.
and they were healed.
Yeah. Or they wanted his shadow to pass over.
Right. Yeah. And those types of things. So there's real power there through the Holy Spirit as they went out to evangelize.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool how they just proclaimed the word every place they went. And, you know, the book of Acts, you know, you can read. I mean, it's really a amazing book to read. And no matter how many times you read it, it's still interesting when you reread it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just such an amazing example of how these people are so changed by what happened
yeah.
that they just go and do it.
Yeah.
And people beat him up and throw him in prison. And, you know, Paul recounts how many times he got whipped and how many times he got imprisoned and how many times, you know, and they beat him up and throw him out. And then he says, okay, let's go back in and preach some more. And,
yeah.
you know, some guy dies while he's preaching and he raises him from the dead and goes on preaching. And, you know, and in our time, you know, we want to hear somebody preach for, you know, anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes. Then we've pretty much had it. Then they would preach like everywhere they went for hours at a time. And by this way, the word was spread through the whole known world. And, you know, Jesus told them that they would go out and preach this word and that it would be accompanied by signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mark chapter 16, which is at the very end of Mark's gospel, it's verse 16. I'm sorry, chapter 16, verse 20, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs.
Yeah.
So they went and preached the word and signs came. Like you
right.
said, you know, somebody touched a cloth or somebody, you know, Peter happened to pass by some guy and his shadow went over him and they were healed or they were somehow, you know, transformed or they were somehow changed.
Right.
The signs accompanied them everywhere they went.
You know, and you say that about signs that, you know, if you go back a little bit further or a little bit, before in the 16th chapter and you read it at, verse 16, chapter 16, he said to them, go into the whole world. I'm sorry. This is 15, verse 15. He said to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
And as a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus, this is critically important to understand that the first believers, the first followers of Christ, knew that they shared in the anointing
mm-hmm.
of the Holy Spirit that came upon Christ in the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an essential element that when Jesus was baptized, it was the fulfillment of all righteousness. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him, you know, as a dove. And the heavens opened and the Father said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And John was given that understanding or that vision that whoever the Holy Spirit descended upon and remained,
mm-hmm.
that was the Christ.
Yes.
He was the Christ.
Yeah.
And the early church all understood that to be a follower of Jesus, they weren't just followers of him. They shared in the anointing. They were heirs of the kingdom.
Yeah.
In the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing, you know, in the church today, you know, the church in the sort of, you know, broad view, I'm not talking about any particular denomination, but, you know, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah.
Right.
It's so, we could name so many examples where people don't realize that they also have this transformed heart, that they also are able to preach this word, that they also can operate in the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
And they can also see signs and wonders happen because now, you know, 20 centuries later, people have said, well, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't really happen anymore. It was just happening then. And people don't want, you know, I don't want to say anything to anybody because I don't want to them to make fun of me. And these guys didn't care who made fun of them.
Right.
They just showed up and started preaching.
Right.
Last thing Paul worried about was what anybody in these places was going to think of him.
Yeah. Especially if he got beat up a couple of times. Then he went back in. You weren't worried about what they were thinking of you.
Man, but he had a sore back most of the time probably getting whipped.
But, you know, it goes back to that passage of John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it to the full.
Right.
And when you see how the apostles and disciples went out and preached and proclaimed the word, they had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's available for every believer, baptized Christian.
Exactly.
You know, and it's unfortunate that we really don't see those gifts and those signs happening more often.
Yeah. And as a result of us being hesitant to say anything,
right?
You know that we have not impacted the world the way we should be impacting the world,
mm-hmm.
and you can see what's going on around us,
right?
You can see what's going on not only in our country but all through the world,
right?
Because as you know, darkness settles over the world, the believers are more inhibited to say anything. And we've kind of retreated into the corner saying, well, things are bad out there.
Yeah, and you know, and I think it's in Isaiah where the Lord speaks and says, you know, I've not spoken from some dark place of hiding.
Yes, exactly.
You know, God's word empowers us. It doesn't mean that it's by our power, because in our weakness, you know, Paul even says this many times, it's in my weakness mm-hmm. that I'm made strong.
Yes.
But it's through the power of God working in me.
Yeah.
And he understood that very well. And that's something that as we proclaim the word, it's not through our eloquence of speech or, you know, that we have mastered the language that we're speaking in.
Yeah.
It's simply proclaiming the truth of the gospel in love to the person that God's placed before us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And, you know, I always like to use Paul as the best example of that because, you know, Paul talks about how there's no room for boasting.
Right.
And, you know, he was a guy that had credentials that he could have boasted.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there weren't many people smarter than Paul. Right. He was one smart guy.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on a break. I hear some Paul Wilbur music. And we'll continue with that after the break, but I just want to remind you that the Gift of Grace is on Facebook if you want to search for us and make some comments about the show. And what was that website again?
www.giftofgraceministries.org.
And the website is under construction. You won't find a lot of stuff there, but keep checking because things are added periodically. We'll be back after this break. This is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
Filled his bow in worship as the angel voices swirl. Fragrant clouds of incense swirl around your throne of grace. Lord, we bow in worship at the brilliance of your face. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah, Elohim. to reign forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lift your head, O Zion, open wide your ancient doors, and cry,
Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here with Stephen Garchar. And before we go on, Steve, why don't you say a little bit about Paul Wilbur that you just heard in that song with some upcoming news?
Well, Paul's going to be in the area on July 29th. That is a Friday, Friday evening only. He's going to be in the area on July 29th. We believe it's going to be down in Warren, Ohio, and we'll give you more information as it becomes available.
Mark it on your calendar.
Mark it on your calendar, because it was full there last time. There was close to 1,000 people there,
yeah,
at Packard Music Hall.
Yeah, and I think everybody really got impacted by it.
Yes, very much so. The Spirit descended upon the place and just was awesome. It was awesome. It was good.
Yeah, and how about, why don't you give us a little bit of information on Gift of Grace Ministries?
Well, Gift of Grace Ministries. Well, Gift of Grace Ministries, if you would like Phil and I to come out to your church and teach and do praise and worship, we're available. Contact us through the website. That's www.giftofgraceministries.org. There's a contact page, and just fill out the contact information and we'll get back with you.
Awesome. Yeah, check out the website. And like I said a minute ago, it's under construction and we periodically are adding radio shows and teachings and who knows what else. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about Paul, St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus. And, you know, we talk about he had really, really great credentials. You know, he studied in the temple, best rabbi of the time, zealous for the law, knew at least 5 languages. He was a very intellectual type. And then he's converted on the road to Damascus. He comes to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, in a pretty direct and dramatic way. that most of us don't experience, but we experience it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
He had an experience that was pretty dramatic, and then he's totally transformed in this serious, intelligent guy who's zealous for the law and is ready to kill whoever is violating the laws, suddenly becomes the apostle of grace and the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's totally changed in the point of, he says, there's no room for boasting anymore.
Right.
I was that guy, but now compared to all my academic credentials, compared to all the things that I was doing at the temple, and compared to all the things that I knew, he counts it all as loss compared to knowing Christ.
Yeah.
In fact, he says this, he counts it as rubbish. And the Greek word that's used there actually means manure. So that's what he thinks about it.
Yeah.
Compared to knowing Christ. And, this is a guy who's been totally changed.
Yeah.
And, when he talks about what he preaches is the cross. And, the last couple of shows that we did here were about that. That if we focus on the cross is the center of salvation history. The cross is what everything in the Tanakh points to, and everything in the New Testament flows from, comes from. And Paul says he preaches Christ and Christ crucified, and that's all he wants to preach.
Right.
And it's a stumbling block to the Jews, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But to those that are called, to those that are being saved, it's awesome. It's the power of God under salvation. It's the wisdom of God. But all he wants to preach is the cross.
Right.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I mean, it's all he wanted to teach.
Yeah.
And he impacted, I don't know how many people, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, wrote so much of the New Testament. And, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul, because he preached Christ and Christ crucified.
Yeah.
He didn't preach, these are the things you have to do on Sunday when you go to church, and these are the things you have to do when you say your prayers, and he preached the cross and Christ crucified.
Right. I mean, really, he's impacted generation upon generation from his teachings. If your sight was taken away from you for 3 days, and then you have somebody lay hands on you, and you have scales that looks like scales fall from your eyes, and you hear the Lord speak to you in the way that He had the Lord speak to him, probably have a pretty dramatic effect on your life as it did on Paul's.
Yeah, and he wasn't known to have scales on his eyes. He got regular eye exams, and he never had scales before. But this was an amazing conversion.
Yeah.
And what's pretty cool then is talk about transitioning from one covenant to the new covenant. In the old law, in the law, the covenant of the law in the Tanakh, if someone who was not Jewish by birth wanted to become Jewish, in other words, you were a Gentile, but you said, "Wow, I really admire that. I really think that's really cool. I want to be one of them. I want to worship their God."
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an easy process to do.
Right.
You had to go and study, and you had to be educated, and you had to go through the mikvahs and these rituals, and you had to change how you ate and how you lived. And, you kind of had to incorporate yourself from Gentile living into Jewish living, because that was the covenant.
Right.
And there probably weren't that many people that did it.
Mm-hmm.
There were people in Israel that were what were called God-fearers.
Right.
They respected the Jews. They worshiped the God of Israel, like Cornelius and some of these other Romans.
Right.
But to actually become in one of the covenant people wasn't an easy thing to do.
Right.
But how different this was now, because coming to Christ was so radically different, because it didn't matter what you were. I mean, if you were a Greek, if you were a Roman, if you were an African, if you were from the Orient, if you were a Jew, it didn't matter where you were from.
Right.
You came to Christ and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You're converted. You come into the kingdom. You get filled with the Spirit. You're baptized, you come into the fold.
Yeah.
And sure, you learn things, but it was not like a process that took years. You came and you were converted, and there you were.
Right.
And now you have this new relationship.
Right. Yeah, because as we see, the Holy Spirit began to fall on the Gentiles. And as you said earlier, this it really perplexed the first followers of Christ, of Yeshua, because they were all Jewish.
Exactly.
And when they saw this happening, they were, you know, they took it into prayer, and they followed really what God was telling them to do, is that, you know, he's made the way for this.
Yes.
And, you know, even Jesus makes reference to this as he's teaching, where he says, you know, I have another fold.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That I, you know, that they will also follow me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so there is some reference to, you know, the Gentiles, even when the woman's, you know, begging at the table, and she says, well, you know, he says, it's not right that I should feed the dogs from the master's table. You know, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, mm-hmm. you know, she says, but master, even the dogs eat the scraps. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though the prophet Isaiah had mentioned many times that the nations would come, that those who did not seek him would find him. And that sounds like it would be a good radio show. Maybe we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
But anyway, Isaiah has a lot of those prophecies. And so somebody who was a Jewish believer at the time and saw Gentiles coming into the church, you know, that may have turned on some lights that said, wow, you know, Isaiah talked about this 700 years ago. And we don't know, but they probably did.
Yeah.
But this, you know, was this radical change because, you know, the Gentiles were out of covenant. They weren't the covenant people.
Right.
I mean, you know, before that it was God said, just go over there, you know, kill the Gentiles that are there and you can take over the land. And, you know, the Gentiles were always kind of the force moving against them.
Mm-hmm.
And which is still happening today, by the way. But anyway, that's another story. But interestingly, in Acts chapters, you know, 10 and 11, we have this cool thing about Cornelius and his house. And in 11 verse 18, the Jews said, when these are Jewish people speaking, they said, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. I mean, whoa, this is like this radical thing has happened and the lights go on in their head. Because before that, you know, they were kind of upset about Peter going to Cornelius' house. It's like, what are you doing over there? You're eating with Gentiles?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing going into this Gentile's house? Oh, sure, Cornelius seems to be a nice guy, and we've gotten along with him pretty well, and he's been living here for a long time, but he's a Gentile. What are you doing in his house? What are you doing eating with him?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and the whole household. And then, you know, after a little while, the Jews start saying to themselves, whoa, God's granted repentance to the Gentiles too.
Yeah.
And they start to think, maybe this is going to be a bigger thing than we thought. We thought we were just going to have some messianic congregations here. But now it looks like we're going to have a much bigger thing here. Which, of course, comes to be known as the church.
Right.
But, I mean, we can't see it like they see it because we're used to having the church.
Right.
But at the time, this was amazing. Why are these Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit?
Right. There were synagogues. There were no quote-unquote churches.
Right.
You know, and, yeah, they didn't have
them. Yeah. And these were people that were out of covenant. I mean, Cornelius, he was a nice guy, but he wasn't in the covenant.
Right.
I mean, someday God would deal with Cornelius any way, you know, that's up to God to determine, but we don't have anything to do with Cornelius. But now all of a sudden, Cornelius is a believer in Yeshua, believer in the Jewish Messiah, and the Holy Spirit falls on him.
And now he is in the covenant.
And now he's in the covenant, because now we have a new covenant.
He's
we have a new relationship.
Yeah.
And it was mind-boggling. And it was one of the first examples, you know, Philip has the example with the Ethiopian and with the Samaritans, and they're going, Samaritans are believing too? You know, yeah. we better send somebody up there. I mean, the last thing we want is Samaritans coming into our Messianic congregation.
Yeah. I wonder if they thought about Jesus talking to the woman at the well at that point, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they
probably did. Some of those things. And, you know, as you're talking, I think it's really helpful for anyone who studies to really put yourself back into the place of, you know, the time of when this is happening and try and think of it objectively, you know, asking God for the grace to do that as well, but that you can see things through their eyes without all the knowledge that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get a whole different perspective of what it was probably really like for them to preach the gospel and to live this message because, you know, after, for the most part, most of us, you know, see the church as what we've experienced in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. But if we start to study history and scripture, then it starts to open us up to a little broader perspective of really what the kingdom of God is all about.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I mean, part of Bible study for everybody
I can't boast about that though.
Yeah, that's right. Don't boast about it. But part of that, we don't want you to become arrogant and proud. But anyway, but you know, part of every serious Bible study really needs to be the historical setting, the historical context of what's going on.
Right.
Because, you know, we're living in the year 2011. And when somebody says, oh, you know, these people did this and those other people did that, and you say, oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But when you put the historical context in and then you end up saying, wow, they must have thought that was pretty radical.
Yeah.
And it's the same, it goes along too with the idea that in the year 2011, or I should say since maybe the Middle Ages, we've thought of the Bible as being a book about Western Europeans and Americans and it's a book about Middle Eastern people.
Yeah. For the most
so,
part,
you know, it's not about American customs and it's not about European customs and it's not about South American customs. It's about Middle Eastern people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that, you see it in a different light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. As Paul went around and he preached to these Gentiles, you know, he always went to the synagogue first. And then when they threw him out, of course, then he went out and preached to the Gentiles. But, in Acts chapter, 11, even it says, some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, which were Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, which was the big Messianic congregation. and they sent out Barnabas to go to Antioch. So it's like, I don't know what's going on up there in Antioch, but there's Greeks coming into the kingdom.
Yeah.
You better go up there and check this out because, you know, we gotta send somebody up there.
Yeah.
And it says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So it says Barnabas went to Antioch, where all these Greeks were being converted, and he had seen the grace of God. Now, what did he see? What does that mean? What did he see? What was the grace of God? And what happened was Barnabas was a nice Jewish man who had come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, went up there and saw these Greeks who, of course, were Gentiles, and he sees the grace of God in action that now salvation had been extended to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Salvation was extended to people who were not in the covenant. And it said he was glad. I mean, when he saw this, you know, he said, wow, this is really cool. This is awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Because we've got these Greeks here and they're praising God and they're praising Yeshua, Jesus, and they're doing praise and worship and they're doing Bible studies and wow, this is pretty cool. We never thought we would see this happen. He was glad and he probably thought back I mean, these people were Greeks, you know, so it's an example of, you know, when they use the word Greeks, you know, it's talking about all the Gentiles. But he should think back to the promises to Abraham. The last promise to Abraham in that series was all the communities of the earth would be blessed through you.
Yeah.
So here was a whole nother community of the earth being blessed through Abraham's most famous and important descendant, who, of course, was Yeshua.
Right.
Woo. Pretty cool. Oh, I hear Paul Wilbur again.
Is he here?
No.
Oh.
But his voice is.
July 29th.
July 29th in Warren. That's someplace down below there. But it'd be worth the drive. We'll give you more details as time comes closer. But remember, Gift of Grace is online at giftofgraceministries.org and on Facebook. Let's listen to Paul Wilbur, and we'll be right back.
The Gift of Grace with Phil and Steve will be back after this timeout.
Their salvation was poured out for you. The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets were filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, "Blessed be the Holy One, Yeshua Tadonai." Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem, peace be to you. May his praise be found in you. Israel, beloved, Ephraim, my son, how my heart would thrill to hear you say, Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May it pierce your soul. Turn again to worship Adonai.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the last segment of The Gift of Grace for this week.
Already?
Already. And I can't even believe how fast time goes. And pretty soon it'll be another week will be gone. But anyway, that is an awesome song.
That is an awesome song. Yeah.
And they sang that at some of the Messianic congregations that Peter and John started, you know, the first century. And it was, you know, it's a song that everybody should sing everywhere.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. They didn't really sing it. And I was just kidding. But that is Paul Wilbur. You can order any of his CDs at wilburministries.com. We give him free advertising because Steve and I know him pretty well. He's been a big factor in our faith life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he has.
Yes. And he is not a Gentile, although we are. So anyway, so these crazy Gentiles start coming into the kingdom from all over the place. And Barnabas just, he really got it. You know, Barnabas got it. He wasn't one of these people that were criticizing and saying, how come you're eating with Gentiles? And
yeah.
He thought this was cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, they preached to these people. They preached to these Greeks and they were converted. And, you know, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and everybody knows this verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. And the original Greek word there for inspiration or inspired is actually God breathed. In Greek, it's theonoustos. That means God breathed. So in other words, it conveys the idea that the Holy Spirit breathes out the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word for spirit and breath and wind, you know, are all the same word in Hebrew and also in Greek, which is kind of cool. So it's like the spirit just like breathes out this word. So it's alive.
Right.
And, you know, when you read the scriptures, it's not like reading a novel or reading a book or reading Time Magazine or some, you know, publication. It's a living, breathing word.
Right.
Because it actually is his word.
Yeah. And God says, my word's eternal.
That's right.
You know, in Isaiah, he says, my word's eternal. It'll fulfill the purpose which I sent it out for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will not return to me void.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Amen. And talk about not returning void. Now the kingdom's being preached to Gentiles. The kingdom's being preached outside of the covenant now. And Galatians, you know, Paul does a terrific job, of course, in all the books, but in Galatians, he does a great job of this. You know, in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham. So what he's saying here is, God says in his word, prophesies in his word, that the Gentiles would also be saved.
Yeah.
And that they would be saved by faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They weren't going to be saved by coming into kingdom and, you know, coming into the old covenant and doing all these things. They were going to be saved by faith. And it says he preached the gospel to Abraham. You know, that's pretty cool too. In other words, good news. He gave Abraham good news. Mm-hmm. All the nations are going to be blessed by you.
Yeah.
Wow.
All the nations.
All the nations.
Yeah.
Greeks, everybody.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we're reading scripture, sometimes, you know, if we really pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes to it and our hearts to it, those words like all the nations,
yeah,
that word all,
yeah,
will stand out.
That's right.
And go, wow, how did I miss that so many times of reading it?
That's right. Yeah. Not a couple of nations or
yeah,
not this nation, that nation, and two other ones. It's like all the nations. And what we've got is, you know, the kingdom of, you know, every tribe, every tongue,
every nation.
Every nation.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the kingdom now. Mm-hmm. And as you're probably tired of hearing me say, you know, God starts with one man who's Abraham, then builds a family, then builds a nation, and then all the nations come into the kingdom under the Son of David, under Messiah, as king over all the earth. Doesn't matter now anymore what country you're from, what culture you're in. You come to Christ by faith, and you're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, Paul talks about how amazingly awesome this is because it's even prophesied in the scripture from what God says to Abraham.
Yeah, and you know, as you're talking, if we go into Ephesians chapter 2, if I can get to it here. We get to Ephesians chapter 2, He says in verse 14, "For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace."
Woo, the one new man.
Woo. The one new man.
That's awesome.
The Jew and Gentile.
Yep.
And, worshiping and, together as one new man.
Yeah.
He named a Tov.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Ooh, someday we have you sing He Named a Tov on the show.
That's an awesome song.
Steve sings it almost as well as Paul Wilbur. Well, no, he sings it almost as well as Paul Wilbur.
Well.
But I was going to say one more scripture.
Oh, go ahead.
But it sounds like we're going to be running out of time pretty soon. You know, when the Gentiles hear the word, you know, the word has so much power that in Acts 13, starting at verse 42, he says, Paul, the writer writes, who's Luke, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them, the next Sabbath." In other words, the Gentiles heard this and said, "Hey, we want to hear more of this."
Right.
So next time you guys are going to preach, we're coming. You know, we're going to come to your congregation. So now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews followed Paul and Barnabas, and he persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and they were contradicting and blaspheming, and they opposed the things that Paul spoke. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourself as unworthy of eternal life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, I have sent you as a, set you as a light to the Gentiles." So when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And the word spread through that whole region.
Wow.
The Gentiles got excited because they heard God's word, which was the living, breathing word, and later is going to be said by the writer of Hebrews to be a two-edged sword, because it cuts them, and it cuts everybody who hears it. Ooh, we're trying to get everything in fast because we're running out of time. Well, hope you all have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow, and thanks for listening.
Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. We'll be back here next week. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.